Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur six lines from the top of Daf Lamed Aleph, at the point at which the Gemara itself begins. At the end of our previous shiur, we learned the Mishnah, which featured the special Torah readings for the different holidays, and a little more as well. At this point, we have a Brisa. And this is a very long Tanaic source, and it takes you till, you'll notice, about seven lines from the bottom, where the framed section ends. We'll say the marking for this Almud Gemara is basically reliant upon Rashi. So before we go further in the if we even read into the Gemara at all, let's take a look at the Rashi, at the beginning of the Gemara. Hochi Garsinan. Tanu Rabbanon, Hachigas means this is the text that you should have. Tanu Rabbanon bePesach Koren beParshas Mo'ados. That's how our Gemara begins. And Rashi says, Braisa Shleimohi Ad Ushaar Kol Yomoi Sachag Koren bKorbanos Sachag. So that's a quote from, you go toward the end of the framed section, and you'll see by way of our markings, you see the last. Almost the last diamond, the next to last diamond in the source, is where that quote comes. So the Rashi's pointing out that this Braisa essentially goes down till there. However, Ela Shebale HaGemara Afsikua LeForish B'chol Moed Yoyim B'Yoyim Matiknu Achreinim Shenoagul Asay Shnei Yomim. The Braisa is interrupted. Intermittently by the Gemara itself to explain what the later innovations were, where the practice of keeping 2 days of Yom Tov is featured. Lefi Shabraisa Nishneis Be'eretz Yisrael She'ein Oisin Yom Tov Elo Yoim Echad. The Braisa, as is fairly common with regard to Tanaic literature, was taught in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you have only 1 day of Yom Tov. In other words, the beginning of Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, they'll observe, let's say, one Seder. In Chutz Laretz, so 2 Sedarim are observed. That's what we mean by 2 days of Yom Tov. Likewise, the end of Pesach, there's 2 days of Yom Tov and Chutz Laretz. The end of Sukkot, you have 2 days that are observed, Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, whereas in Eretz Yisrael, there's only 1 day that's observed. It's Simchas Torah is combined with Shmini Atzeres. So the Braisa, as you can see, by way of our markings, if you just scan ahead over this page, you'll see a lot of brackets are used. And generally speaking, in our Gemara marking system, for those who are not first-time listeners, you know that when you see brackets, it indicates to skip a section in order to preserve the logical flow. Here, it's not the case. We'll be using brackets and taking our cue from Rashi simply to indicate the sections that are interrupted by the Gemara. Most often, you'll see there are sections that deal with Yom Tov Sheni issues. And it's based on the Rashi that said that the basic Braisa was not dealing with second day Yom Tov issues, and when it does, so that's the Gemara's insert. Likewise, glance at in the margin, we have a Mivneh, structural note, and we indicate that the use of these markings goes until Omid Beis. The diamond will be used to highlight Hadgoshes HaMoyed, the holiday that is being featured. So if you scan ahead on the page, you see, just to mention a few, you see Pesach, Atzeres, which is Shavuos, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, etc., and so forth. the bottom of the page you see Chanukah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh, and we continue these markings till Amud Beis. It truth be told that not everything is in the Tanaic source, but the holiday emphasis is accomplished by having the diamonds. The triangle will be used to highlight the expression V'ho'idna. Now that means, literally means, and nowadays. What is V'ho'idna here referring to? So in our introduction on the side, we indicate the V'ho'idna is ma noyhagim b'chutz l'oretz sheyesh shnei yomim shel yom tov. What is the practice outside of Eretz Yisrael? They have 2 days of Yom Tov. And there are other examples of things where there apparently was an earlier practice, and then there was a change. A change was made later, and that also is introduced by the expression, the word V'ho'idna. Now, we go to the Gemara text, but once again we want to make a disclaimer like we did at the end of our previous year. So if you heard our previous year, this is going to just sound a little repetitive, but if you're a first time listener, the thrust of the Gemara is to associate a section of the Torah and a section of the Prophet that we read as the Haftorah with each holiday. In our Gemara markings shiur, we, generally speaking, emphasize the Gemara structure. From time to time, we might make mention of the connection between individual Torah readings and the holiday, but that's not our goal. It's an important thing, however, to do, so that by all means, if your curiosity is piqued as to why a given section is read on a given day, look into first, of course, Rashi, and look into other commentaries to discover what the connection is. Some of them are obvious. Some of them might require a little more investigation. But if we skip those explanations from time to time, it's simply because that's not what our goal is in the context of our Gemara markings Daf Yomi Shir. Okay, now we go to the text. Tonu Rabbanon bePesach Koren bePashas MoAdos. On Pesach we read from the section of the Torah that deals with the holidays. And we saw this referred to already in the Mishnah, the first day of Pesach. You read from Parshas Emor, which is referred to as the Parshas Moses in Torah's Kehanim. And we said when we learned the Mishnah, the Torah's Kehanim, which is mentioned in the Mishnah, is another name for Sefer Vayikra. And in Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Emor, you have a discussion of the holiday. So that's what's read. Umaftirin bePesach Gilgal. And the Haftorah concerns the Pesach, the first Pesach that they observed upon entering the land of Israel in the time of Yehoshua. So you can see that that's taken from Yehoshua Perakeh, and you would start where we mentioned Gilgal here is mentioned in Pesach Yud, but it's that section that's read on as the Haftorah of the first day of Pesach. And here we already encounter our brackets, but we're not skipping. That's not the point of these brackets. It's simply the Gemara's insertion. But nowadays we have 2 days of Pesach before you get to Chol HaMoed, of course. Pesach is an entire week, but it's 2 days of Melacha restriction. So with regard to those 2 days, Yoyma Kama, but Pesach Gilgal. The Haftorah of the first day of Pesach will be what we mentioned, Lemochor, the Pesach Yoshio. And the second will be Pesach featured in the Book of Kings, Melachim Beis, Perichof Gimel Pesachof Aleph, which of course deals with Pesach as observed in the time of King Yoshio. Ushar Yemoisa Pesach, the other days of Pesach, we have here Chol HaMoed days. Look at the next diamond, you see Yom Tov Achron Shel Pesach, the last day of Pesach will be featured. But in the meantime, you have the balance of Pesach by way of Chol HaMoed days, Melake V'Korei Minyonoi Shel Pesach. You gather together, it means you pick different sections of the Torah that have a reference to Pesach and read that section, a different section each day. My he, well, what are those sections? Amar Rav Papa, Mapu Simin. This is you can see it's an abbreviation. Each letter represents a different section of the Torah. So Rashi makes reference to it. On the side of the Gemara, we have a little note that Mapu is Mem represents the word Mishpu, which is a reference to the Pasuk in Shmos Yud Beis Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The Aleph is a reference to the word Im, which is in Shmos Chaf Beis Pasuk Chaf Dalet. The Pei is Psoilucha, Shmos Lamed Dalet Pasuk Aleph, and the Vav is Vayadaber from Bamidbar Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph. In each one of those sections, a reference to Pesach is found. Continuing in our Braisa, Yom Tovu Achron Shel Pesach, Koren VaYibishalach, the last day of Pesach, we read Parshas Bishalach, which in it you have the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Shiras Hayam, the Oz Yoshir that you're probably familiar with, because on the seventh day of Pesach, it is our tradition that that's when the crossing of the Yamsuf, of the splitting of the sea took place. So it's appropriate for the last day of Pesach. Maftirin, Vayedaber David, and the Haftorah is that section it's the end of the book of Samuel, Shmuel Beis, toward the end of Sefer Shmuel, there is a Shira, a song, if you will. I don't know if Shira is, that's the best translation, but so be it. That's the way it's generally translated. Just like Oz Yoshir is the song of the sea, so too David HaMelech has a Shira there. And that's why, that's the connection between the Haftorah and the Parsha that's read from the Torah itself. Rashi adds, interestingly, that this Shira of David makes a hint to Yitzias Mitzrayim, making it all the more connected. Of course, needless to say that Yitzias Mitzrayim, that's the Exodus from Egypt, which is what we're celebrating on Passover. Ula Mohar. Now, here we have a brackets. Now, the reason for this brackets is because Lamohar means the next day, indicating a second day of Yom Tov, even though the reading sounds like it's a smooth Brisa reading, but as I said before, I'm taking my cues from Rashi, who said that the Brisa doesn't deal with second days of Yom Tov. So, we'll assume then that this is a Gemara insertion. Ula Mohar, the next day, it's the second of the last days of Pesach, which we in Chutzos we call that the eighth day of Pesach. Kol HaBechor. It's a section from the Torah in Sefer Dvarim, and Umaftirin Oid Hayom. Rashi points out that section Oid Hayom is a reference to in the book of Isaiah, the downfall of King Sancheriv, which took place on Pesach. Omar Abaye, v'ho'idno nohig almo lemikri, and nowadays the minug is, with regard to the Pesach reading, throughout all the days of Pesach. Again, you have one word that's a reference to a section of the Torah. So the words Meshach, Tura, Kadesh, Bekaspa, Psal, Bimadbura, Shlach, and Bukhra, each one is a separate section in the Torah. Meshach is Shmos Yud Beis Perek Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Tura is Vayikra Chaf Beis Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Kadesh Shmos Perek Yud Gimel. Bekaspa Shmos Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Psal is Shmos Perek Lamed Aleph Posuk Aleph, Bimadbura is Bamidbar Perek Tes Posuk Aleph, and Shlach is Shmos Yud Gimel Posuk Yud Zayin, and Bukhra is Devorim Perek Tes Vav Posuk Yud Tes. Be'atzeres on Shavuos, Shiva Shavuos, Umaftirin B'chabakuk. Achirim Omrim B'chodesh HaShlishi, the section of Chodesh HaShlishi is a reference to the from Parshas Yisro, the giving of the Torah, and Shavuos is the day that we commemorate the receiving of the Torah. Umaftirin b'merkava, and the Haftorah is a reference to a heavenly prophecy or vision that Yechezkel had that we call Maisa Merkava. And nowadays that we have in Chutzlar, it's 2 days of Shavuos, Avdinon Trevayu V'Ipcha. We do these two readings, however, in the opposite direction, meaning on the first day of Shavuos we would read B'Chodesh HaShlishi, you read from Sefer Shmos, the section of Matan Torah, and on the second day you would read Shiva Shavuos, which deals with the counting toward the halachas of counting toward Shavuos. B'Rosh Hashanah B'Chodesh HaShvi U'Maftirin HaBen Yakir Li Ephraim. Rashi points out that section of Ben Yakir Li Ephraim is connected in the sense that you find the pasuk Zechores Kirenu Rachem Acharamenu Arachmenu, which has to do with our being remembered by Hashem. And on Rosh Hashanah, in the davening, we have, in addition to the, we have Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, so this idea of being remembered is a prominent feature of Rosh Hashanah. So that's why HaBen Yakir Li Ephraim, V'yesh Omrim, V'Hashem Pokad Esara, others say that the Torah reading of Rosh Hashanah is where Hashem informs Sora that she will have a child, U'maftirin B'chana, and we read of the Haftorah concerning Chana, who was like Sora, was childless until she was, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered her tefillos, and her being remembered by Hashem also, the tradition is, was on Rosh Hashanah. That the Gemara discusses that in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So again, we see the connection between the Haftorah of Chana with the Torah section concerning Sora. For Idno Dikotre Yoimi, now that we have 2 days, Yoimikama Keyesh Oimrim, the first day of Rosh Hashanah will be Vashem Pokad Esara, and Lamochar, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, for Kim Nisos Avram, the section of the Torah that deals with the Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Yitzchak as we'll call it the sacrifice, and Umaftirin HaBen Yakir, and the Haftorah will be that. B'Yom HaKippurim Korin Achrei Mois U'maftirin ki choyama rom v'nisa. On Yom Kippur, we read from Achrei Mos, which we mentioned earlier, mentioned previously, in our previous shir, that is, that Achrei Mos contains the Avodis Yom Kippurim in the Beis HaMikdash, the Yom Kippur ritual and procedure as done in the Holy Temple. And the Haftorah is from this section, Yeshaya ki choyama rom v'nisa. Rashi explains that part of the Haftorah, that part of the Navi, deals with tshuva, with penitence, which is, of course, the theme of Yom Kippur. Uva mincha, Kurin mincha of Yom Kippur, we read Ba'arayas. That happens to be the second part of Parshas Achrimos, the forbidden relatives in terms of forbidden to marry those particular relatives. That's Arayas. U'maftirin b'yona, and we read Sefer Yona, one of the Treyasar. And of course the book of Yona, the book of Jonah, deals with the repentance of the city of Nineveh. Again, a Yom Kippur theme. Now, as far as the reason for mentioning the illicit relations, so the forbidden relatives on Yom Kippur afternoon, so Rashi says, Koran Barayas, toward the end of the narrow line, Shemish Yesh Averis Biodo, someone who has sinned, Yifrosh Mehen, Lefish Harayas Aver Mitsuya, the issue of immorality is something that is common. A person desires them, and he sometimes, as a yetzer, his inclination overcomes him. So it's timely for Yom Kippur to make mention of that which is otherwise very tempting, and to learn about how they are forbidden. Tosfos, second Tosfos, B'mincha Koren Barayas, Lefi shanoshim mikashtois bishvil kvod hayom. This is almost unbelievable, but because we're talking about Yom Kippur, but there's certain aspects of life that one has to confront in its stark reality. Women adorn themselves in honor of the holiday. It's certainly a praiseworthy thing to come dressed up nicely and look nice in honor of the holiday. However, it's a problem that women attract men. And therefore, we have to remind the public that the people should not stumble, should not sin in face of the attractive looking women. And the Medrash says the reason we read from the Parsha Raz, Lefishi Yisrael Oisin Remez Lagadosh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people are hinting to the Almighty, Shekashem Shehizir Oisam Shelo Legalus Erva, just like we are warned not to expose that which is forbidden. Kach Lo Tegala Ervasam Ba'avoy Noisam. So too, you should not expose our shame that we achieve, if that's the right word, through our sinning. Now we go back to the Gemara. Omar Rav Yochanan. Here we have a long bracketed section. The Brisa, you can see, picks up after this with more holiday Torah readings. And here this is really a departure from the Torah reading discussion. Omar Rav Yochanan, Kol Mokim Shata Moitzik V'Rosu Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wherever you find the verses highlighting the strength, the awesomeness of the Almighty, in that very same place, Ata Moitzi An V'Sinus, you'll find His humility. Now, when we speak about the humility of the Almighty, understand, we're finite and we're describing the infinite, something that's basically impossible to do. But we're human beings and we have to at times, in order to even get some type of grasp on the topic, we have to speak in human terms. So it's quite obvious that the Almighty, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that God Almighty is the ultimate in humility. And very simply, mankind is far from perfection. He is far from doing the Almighty's will. And yet the Almighty provides for us. He's what we call long-suffering. He sees it, he sees sinning. He sees immorality and theft and all kinds of human vices. And yet He preserves the world. The sun rises, the sun sets, and people have their food primarily, basically, and people function daily. All of that is ultimately the Almighty's humility, that even though He commands His commandments and we don't listen to them, He allows things to go on. That's a general statement. Now, what this remark of Rabbi Yochanan does, he shows in the psukim how you see that. Dover Zeh, this point of wherever you see the Almighty's strength and greatness, you also see His humility. Kosud the Torah, v'shoni b'neviim, v'shulish b'ksuvim. It's written in the Torah. It is repeated in the prophets, and it is said a third time in the writings. Kosud the Torah, a pasuk from the Torah, and it says in Sefer Dvarim, The Lord Almighty is the God of all forces. He is the master of all masters. Uksiv Basrei, and it says, Oise Mishpot Yosem Vamona, that He who is so lofty and so grand, so great, is preoccupied, is concerned with the justice of the have-nots, of the orphans and the widows. That is an expression of humility. He's interested in the welfare of the little one. Shoni ben Avim, ko amar rom v'nisa sheichin ad v'kadosh. the Rom Venisa's the lofty one on high, the Basre, and right after that says Vesdako Ushval Ruach, that he is together with the contrite and lowly of spirit. Mishulish b'ksuvim dechtiv solu l'rochid baravoi is b'koshmoi, an expression of he who rides upon the heavens. The Lord is his name. Uksiv basrei avi yisoymin v'dayan amonos. He, that very same Almighty that rides on high, is the father of the have-nots, of the orphans, and he judges those who oppress the almonas, the widows. Yom Tov Arishon Shel Chag Koren B'Parshas Moyados, the first day of Sukkot, we read from the Parshas of Moyados, from the Parshas that deals with the Hadashah B'Torahs Kohanim, and we saw this in the Mishnah that's found in Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Emor, Umaftirin, and the Haftorah on the first day of Sukkot. By the way, Shel Chag is the way the Gemara refers to the holiday of Sukkot. The Haftorah is Hine Yoim Bo Lashem. And in that section, the Novi makes reference to the nations of the world coming to celebrate Sukkot. So it's connected to the holiday. Nowadays we have two days of Yom Tov. Lamochar, the second day, Mikra Hachanami Karina. We read the same thing again from the Torah, the Parshas Hamoyadas from Vayikra, Afturi, my Maftirin. What about the Haftorah for the second day of Sukkot? So the answer is Vayikwalu El Hamelech Shlomo. That pasuk deals with dedication of the Beis Hamikdash, and that took place in the vicinity of Sukkot. The Sukkim there indicate, as you can see there, that they dedicated the Beis Hamikdash, the first temple in the time of Shlomo Melech, during the first couple weeks of the beginning of Chodesh Tishrei that lasted till Sukkot. Ushar kol yemois hachag koren b'korbanos hachag. The rest of Sukkot, there the Chol HaMoed days. Each day of Chol HaMoed, there's a different number of. We'll say there are different sacrifices each day. In contrast, by the way, to Pesach, where throughout Chol HaMoed it was the same korban each day. On Sukkot there was a different korban each day. So we read that each day of Sukkot for the relevant korban offering. Yom Tov HaAchron Koren, the last day of Sukkot, we read Kol HaBechor Mitzvos V'Chukim U'Bechor U'Maftirin Vayik Chalois Shlomo. That would be for the last day of Sukkot, and in Chutz Laretz you have, in addition to Yom Tov HaAchron, which we would call Shmini Atzeres, you have another day, L'Mochor Koren V'Zois HaBrocha U'maftirin v'yamoy shloimoy. In fact, that is what we do today, where on Simchas Torah we read the last parsha of the Chumash, which is Parshas V'zois HaBrocha. The Gemara itself doesn't make reference to the holiday of Simchas Torah that we are familiar with, what its origin is and why it's a celebration and dancing with the Torah. After all, the Torah wasn't given on that day. So what we seem to be celebrating is the completion of the cycle of Torah reading, how that became a center source of celebration is something that people research where its first reference to as a formal holiday is. But you can see a hint, at least in the sense that at the end of Sukkot we complete the Torah cycle. U'maftirin, the Haftorah is Vayamoid Shloimoy. Rashi points out that the Haftorah of the Yom Tov Achron of Ayik Chalos Shlomo is there. It says by Yom Hashmini Shocham, so it's on the eighth day he sent the people home after the temple dedication. So you see a reference to the eighth day, hence on the eighth day of Sukkot we read that section. And at this point then you can see we close the Brisa, but we continue with various holidays. Omer Rav Huna Marav, Shabbos Shechalios B'choloi Shel Moyed, when Shabbos comes out in the middle of Chol HaMoyed, Bein B'Pesach Bein B'Sukkis, Mikra Karinon, Re'ei Atah, the Torah reading is that, Re'ei Atah, and Rashi says in the wide lines, the fourth of the wide lines, he says, Shiesha Mitzvah Shabbos, Regolim V'Chol HaShel Moyed, in that section of the Torah, there is reference to, it's from Sefer Shmois, Perek Lamed Gimel. You have reference to Shabbos and holidays and Chol HaMoed. Afturi, the Gemara goes on, the Haftorah. Now again, we're dealing with Shabbos that comes out during Chol HaMoed. They have Chol HaMoed on Pesach, Chol HaMoed on Sukkos. So Afturi v'Pesach, Atzamas Yevashos. The Haftorah of Pesach will be from Sefer Yechezkel, which deals with the Atzamas Yevashos, the dry bones coming back to life. And Rashi points out, because tradition has it that those dry bones were really people that had left Mitzrayim before the time. So you can see there's a connection to the Pesach celebration of leaving Mitzrayim. Ubesukos, the Gemara says, the Haftorah for Sukkos, Chol HaMoed, Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, Sukkos, B'yoim Boi Goig. Some in English they refer to that as the War of Armageddon, the final day, the final battle before the ultimate redemption. V'Chanukah, we continue B'Nisim. We read the parsha of the heads of the tribes and what they brought as gifts during the dedication of the Mishkan. Umaftirin b'neiros de Zechariah. And the Haftorah of Shabbos Chanukah is that section, Neiros de Zechariah, which is in Zechariah, in the prophet Zechariah. Rashi points out at the bottom, Roni v'simchi al shem ro'isi v'nei menorah zov kula. He had a vision of a golden menorah, and hence the obvious connection to Chanukah. V'i mikli shtei shabbosis, if Chanukah, which is an 8-day holiday, you can have the first day of Chanukah and the last day of Chanukah are both shabbosis. So kamaisa b'neiros de Chanukah, the Zechariah, the first Haftorah, namely the first Shabbos, will be that, the Neiros of Zechariah, B'sraiso B'Neiros Shlomo. Rashi points out that in the time of Shlomo, there were extra candelabras that were made and placed in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what we would be reading. B'Purim, on Purim day, Vayavoy Amalek, read that from Sefer Shmois, Parshas B'Shalach, where Amalek attacks the Klai Yisrael when they were leaving after they left Mitzrayim. Beroshei Chadoshim, the Torah reading on Rosh Chodesh, Beroshei Chodshechem, you would read from Bamidbar Perek Chofches, which deals with the sacrifices brought on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Shechalios B'Shabbos, when Rosh Chodesh falls out on a Shabbos, so there's a special Haftorah that's read. Maftirin v'hoya midei chodesh b'chodshoi. Chaliyos b'echod b'Shabbos, if Rosh Chodesh comes out on a Sunday, may esmol, from the day before, mainly on Shabbos, which preceded the Rosh Chodesh that comes out on a Sunday, maftirin v'yomer lo yehoinoson mochor chodesh. That section of David, before he became King David, and his friend Yehoinosan, the son of Shaul. So it mentions there that Yehoinosan said to David, tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh. So you see the connection between that Shabbos, which is the day preceding Rosh Chodesh coming out on a Sunday. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Rosh Chodesh Av, Shechalios B'Shabbos, if they coincide the beginning of Chodesh Av on a Shabbos, Maftirin Chodshechem U'Moadechem Sona Nafshi Hoyu Olai L'Toirach. The Chodesh Av, of course, ushers in the Tisha B'Av. This is a very mournful time of the Jewish calendar, which we commemorate the destruction of Jerusalem and the Beis HaMikdash. And, of course, all of that is a result of sins. And the prophet Yeshaya, the Perek Aleph, describes the Kodesh Baruch Hu's disdain for our holiday and Rosh Chodesh celebrations. For me, they are a pain. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu expresses his displeasure. And in the pasuk we just read, it said, "Hayu alai l'torach." It was a burden for me. My hayu alai l'torach. What does that mean? That they were a burden for Hashem. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, "Lo dayon lem l'Yisrael shechoytim." It's not enough that the Jewish people sin lefonai in front of me. Elo shematrichim oisi leidais gzera kasha avyaleim. As a result of their sinning, so then I have to think. I have to each time invent a new punishment to bring upon them. And they're troubling me. It'd be much easier for me, Kiviyoch, of course, they're talking about the Almighty, so we have this, but we're speaking in human terms. They're making things difficult for me. Each time I have to invent a new kind of punishment, a new kind of way of treating them. It would be much easier if they kept the mitzvahs and I'd be able to shower on them constant reward. That's much easier, so to speak. But Tisha B'Av gufei maimav derinon. What's the haftorah on Tisha B'Av itself? Omar Rav Eicha Hoysa Lazona. There's a Kriyas HaTorah which the Gemara deals with right now, and here maybe we're going a little out of order, but we do the haftorah is on Tisha B'Av is Eicha Mikra Mai. What's the Torah reading for Tisha B'Av? Tanya Achirim Oimrim. There are three opinions in this Tanaic source and a fourth opinion afterwards, which is from Abaye. But Achirim say, V'im lo yisishmuli. This is from Vayikra Chavav, which is the parsha of the Toichacha, where if we don't keep the mitzvahs, what Hashem will do. Ma Rabbi Nosson bar Yosef Omer ad ono yaratsuni ha'omazeh. That section deals with the Meraglim, with the spies that brought back the negative report about the land of Israel in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was the origin for the Tisha B'Av calamity. The Yeshomrim, also a section dealing with the spies, Ad Mosai Le'eda Ro Azois, from Sefer Bamidbar. So those are the three Tanaic opinions as to what the Torah reading of Tisha B'Av would be. Omar Abaye, Voidna, Nog Almo, the Mikri Ki Soilid Bonim. And nowadays, the practice is to read from Dvorim Perek Dalid, Ki Soilid Bonim, Umaftirin, Asof, Asifem. And the Haftorah is that, from Sefer Yirmiyahu, which would indicate then not like where the diamond appeared, that the Haftorah is Eicha, but rather the Haftorah is Asof Asifem. And it's interesting to note then, as far as, and in Gemara markings I've mentioned many, many times, we don't deal with Halacha Lemaisa, but from time to time, it's just interesting to note the common practice. So that the common practice is that we read Eicha the night of Tisha B'Av. It's called Megillas Eicha. It was authored by the prophet Yirmiyahu, by Jeremiah, and it features it was when he said it, the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, but he was prophesying concerning the destroyed temple and the destroyed city of Jerusalem. And that we read, the common practice is to have that read at night. And in the day, in the morning of Tisha B'Av, so we would do like Abaye, Ki Soili Bonim, and the Haftorah V'Asof Asifem. Some communities, some congregations, actually read Eicha again in the morning. Interesting, an interesting practice, and having a kind of a basis in the fact that the Gemara made mention of that as a possible Haftorah. It's not read as a Haftorah, obviously, it's read after the davening, but nevertheless, as a daytime reading, you can see a hint to it here in this Gemara, but it's not the Gemara's maskona. B'ma'amodos, b'ma'ise breishis. The ma'amodos, we mentioned on in previous occasions, they were the representatives of Klal Yisrael that stood, so some of the members of the Ma'amadas, they were groups of people that were designated, chosen from all of Klal Yisrael to represent them in the offering of the sacrifices, the daily public sacrifices. Being that Klal Yisrael where it's a communal sacrifice, everyone is considered an owner of it. You need to have the owner present when a sacrifice is offering. Obviously, you can't have all of Klal Yisrael all the time in the Beis HaMikdash, but representatives were there. And the Ma'amados then, for us, represent the offering of sacrifices. And these people would, some would be in the Beis HaMikdash, and some would be in communities throughout the land of Israel, and during their service, their service week as being a member of the Ma'amadas, they would read from the Torah. They would read the section of the Torah dealing with creation. So on the side of our Gemara, we have the topic heading, Tam Likriyas Maisid Breishis B'Ma'amadas. We're going to look into the reason for reading about the creation within the context of the Ma'amadas. HaKesher Bein Korbanos L'Kiyum Olam, the connection between sacrifices and the maintenance of the world which was created and also maintained. The Gemara. Minohani Mili, from where do we know that Ma'amadas, they read B'Maisid Breishis? Omar Rabbi Ami, Il Molei Ma'amadas, if not for the Ma'amadas and what they represent. Again, the Ma'amadas are connected with the offering of sacrifices. Lo Niskaimu Shamayim V'Oretz. The heavens and earth would not continue. They wouldn't last. Shenema Im Loi Brisi, Yoyim V'Layla Chuka Shamayim V'Oretz Lo Santi. If not for my covenant, day and night, the laws of nature, the laws of heaven and earth, I would not place. Now, there is a discussion, by the way, on this piece of Gemara that you'll find in the Tosfos Yom Tov, who's a commentary on the Mishnayos, Maseches Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis. And you would, if you are interested, so look it up, and you can see in Dibur Maso Avoda, he deals with this, piece of Gemara. So, we'll make a comment or two, but bear in mind that it's based on information that you can see in the Mefarshim. This expression, by the way, this piece of Gemara with the Ma'amadas and Kriyas HaTorah of Ma'aseh Breishis is found also in Maseches Tainis, Daf Chof Zayin Amud Beis. However, in the in that Gemara, this pasuk in Lo Bris Yom Laila is not mentioned. It's mentioned only over here and not over there. We would like to suggest, based on what you can find in the Mefarshim, the expression Lo Brisi is a reference to what the Gemara is going to mention right now, is the covenant with Avram Avinu, which we know as the Bris Bein HaBesorim, where Avram Avinu received a divine communication to take some animals and to split them and set them up in rows, and a couple birds that were left intact, and it was he was overcome with a Torah says a tardema. He fell into what we call a deep sleep, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed to him in this vision his covenant with Avram and the eventual Jewish people that will come forth. So if not for that bris, if not for that covenant, so the laws of nature, the world would not continue. Uksif. And it says, and now we refer to that section in the Torah, which is that bris bein absorim. Vayomer Hashem Elokim bama eida kiroshena. Avram Avinu says to the Almighty, he says, how will I know that, well, here we're just translating, how will I know that I will inherit the land? And the Gemara explains, he elaborates on that. However, if you look into the Mefarshim, there is much more than this literal translation that we're giving. The question here is, and this also there's a Gemara Nedarim that discusses this. What exactly was Avram asking? Was he doubtful about the Kodesh Baruch Hu's promises to him, or was he concerned? He wasn't doubtful of the promises, but he also knows that if people sin, so Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have to come through on promises that he makes if you keep his mitzvahs. So Avram Avinu is pleading with the Almighty, well, how will I know about the future? Omar Avram lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu ben Shalom. It's true that you're making a covenant with me, but Shema Chas V'Shalom Yisrael Chaitim Lefanecha. Maybe my offspring, the nation of Israel, will sin in front of you. V'Ata Oyselem Kedor Amabul Chedor Afloga, and you'll eliminate them. You'll punish them like the generation of the flood, or you'll scatter them and dismantle them like you did to the nations like you did to humanity in the time of the Tower of Bavel, the Migdal Bavel, Dor HaFloga, where there was basically one nation and they were the one nation of humanity and they were all scattered. Maybe that's what's going to happen. Amar lo lav, Kodesh Baruch Hu reassures Avram Avinu, no, I won't do that. Amar lefonu ben Yishalom v'me'eda. Well, how can I know that? Amar lo, kol yegla mishuleshes v'chulei. This is the command that Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Avram, bring these, there were several animals mentioned, and egla mishuleshes, and ayo mishulesh, and to take them, dismember these animals. Basically, for our purposes, it's an act that is symbolic of sacrifices. So what the Almighty is saying is that even if they sin, they still will have the opportunity to bring sacrifices that will atone for them, and they will, and that will ensure their maintenance. Omar Lefonov. So Avram continues, says Ribbono Shelom, Tenach Bizman Shebeisim Yishkayim. That's fine and good when the Beis HaMikdash is around. What about after the Beis HaMikdash? And you can see that Avram, his prophecy was quite extensive. He was aware that there would be a Beis HaMikdash and there would also be a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So what's going to be then? There are no sacrifices. Omalo, so the Almighty reassures him, Kvar tikantilam seder korbonus. I have already established a Torah section that deals with sacrifices, called Zman Shikurin Ben, when they read about the sacrifices, Ma Ale Ani Aleim Kilu Makrivin Lefonai Korban Umoichel Ani Al Kol Avonazam. I consider it as if they are offering the sacrifices, and I forgive their sins, so that we see from here that the reading about sacrifice, the study of sacrifice. In fact, Seder Kochim, we had in recent shiur, we mentioned the four orders of the Mishnayos. Even though there's six orders, there are four orders that are considered practical or common or halacha lemaisa. There's Mayadim, which deals with the holidays. There's Noshim, which deals with women and marriages. And there's Nezikin or Yeshuas, which is called, the Yeshonim called Yeshuas. That's a reference to Seder Nezikin, Tort Law. Those are three orders. And the fourth order is Seder Kutshim. You'll ask, well, Seder Kutshim deals with sacrifices. How does that have relevance to us? Based on this Gemara, it has daily relevance to us. By reading and learning about sacrifices, we get credit as if we offer the sacrifices. So it is mentioned, we had that very recently in our Gemara, that in our Masechta we had very recently, and it's mentioned elsewhere, that those four of the six orders, with the exception of Zroyim and Taras, those four orders are considered halacha lemaisa. B'taniyos brochos uklolos v'ein mafsikin b'klolos. Now, what we've done in our markings, we've dashed on the line mafsikin b'klolos, because that's what the Gemara wants to emphasize. Minohani mi. From where do you know that when you are reading the section of the Torah that deals with the curses, that you don't pause in terms of a set, you don't break it into two separate Alios to the Torah. Omrav Chia Bar Gamda, Omrav Asi, Diomar Kro. The Pasuk says, Musar Hashem Bini Al Timos. Musar was like the teachings, the chastising of Hashem, do not disdain. Rashi says, Al Timos, in the upper part of the narrow lines, Vamafsik Bohen, someone who pauses in the middle, he reads half of them and he stops and then someone else comes to take over. To read the rest is Maratz Moshe Koshelolikros. She's showing that, oh, it's too, I can't take it. It's hard for me. So, and the pasuk is saying, Al Timas, don't disdain it. And Rashi continues, says in Maseches Sofrim Yoliflum Yisefer Dikra, in Maseches Sofrim, which is another source of Talmudic literature, it says, it brings a proof to this from the end of the pasuk, which says Al Tokutz B'Tocha Chosoi, Al Tasu Koitzin Koitzin Psokim Psokim Loshen Ktsitza Koitzin. Instead of meaning thorns, it means chopping something up. Don't chop up the Toicha Chosoi, the chastising. So from that Maseches Sofrim, it's a pretty clear reference of do not chop up, do not pause, do not break into two sections, or certainly not more, the reading of the Klolos. The Klolos, again, are literally, they're curses, but it's the way that the Almighty chastises us. The Gemara continues, Reish Lakish Amar, Lefi She'ein Oymim Brucha Al Ha'Pur'onus. You can't break it up into two, because if you do, the second Aliyah is going to be in the middle of the Klolos, and he's certainly going to be making a Brucha over punishment. And they don't go hand in hand. You don't, a benediction, something that's a blessing that you would recite, is not appropriate to say over Pur'onus, over punishment. Well, alayhechi of it. So then how do we approach the Klolos? And here we want to know how do we approach, and also factor in what Reish Lakish just said, that you don't make a bracha over it. So how do you do it? Tana, Kishu, and by the way, when we speak about a brocha, you have to deal with the brocha before and the brocha after. So Tana, Kishu Maschil, when he starts the section dealing with the curses, Maschil with Pasuk Shilfneim, you start with the Pasuk before, or a section before. You don't get the Aliyah to the Torah right with the beginning of the Klolos, but you're going to read a little bit before, which actually deals with the blessings. So the Aliyah starts with blessings, and it's appropriate to make a bracha over that, and you continue reading straight through all of the curses. When he finishes reading about the Klolos, he doesn't finish smack at the very end of the Klolos, but he spills over beyond that, so that the bracha that's made at the end also is not a bracha that's directly attached to the curses. These restrictions of Ein Mafsikin is only with regard to the Klolos in Parshas B'chukos. Toras Kehanim, once again, is a reference to Sefer Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, in which you have the last portion, B'chukosai, you have curses. So the restriction is there regarding that section. Avol Klolos Shebemishneh Torah, the Klolos that are found in Parshas Kisavo. Mishneh Torah is another way of referring to Sefer Dvorim, Parshas Kisavo specifically. Posek, you are allowed to break it into two. My Taima, why this distinction? Halolu Beloshin Rabbi Amurois Umoshin Mipiyag Vur Amoron. The ones in Sefer Toras Kehanim, in Sefer Vayikra, they were said in a public form. The pasuk says in Bechukosai Teilechu, in Teilechu is in the plural. And Moshe Rabbeinu there was not saying something on his own. He was saying over that which the Almighty dictated to him, word by word. That's Moshe Mipia Gvura Omran. So that is something that is not proper to break up. If I'm entitled to say my own explanation, which I generally don't like to do, but it might be because we saw the pasuk before mentioned in the Torah is Musar Hashem Bini Al Timos. That we saw as to why there's no mafsikin, it's because what it says in Mishlei, the Musa, the chastising of the Almighty. So the Parsha of the Klolos and Bukhukasai were the Almighty's chastising. Now, in contrast, Moshe said them on his own. But be very careful. This doesn't mean he made it up. But he said it through divine inspiration. But it's different. It wasn't the and that's true of it might be true of the of Sefer Dvarim in general. There's a difference in so far. It wasn't literal dictation. And being that it was what the Gemara calls Moshe said it mipi atzmo, literally translated on his own, but it's what that would mean, it wasn't literal dictation, as is the case with the ones in Sefer Teres Kehanim and Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Bukhukosai. So, according to our pshat, that the issue of breaking up was based on Musar Hashem, Hashem's chastising, in Sefer Dvorim, Mishnah Torah, it's not Hashem's chastising, it's Moshe Rabbeinu chastising them. So the restriction of Musar Hashem Al Timas doesn't apply, therefore it can be broken up. Levi Barbuti Havikori V'komegamgen Kamei Derav Huna Ba'aruri. Levi Barbuti was reading the Torah, and he was reading in a very rapid fashion, indicating that it was unpleasant, it was difficult for him. That's what Rashi says is Kora Oysen Bimirutsu Uvakoshi, rapidly and with difficulty. And Baruri is the clawless, the curses. Amarlo, so Rav Huna said, Akinaf Shoch, if you want to stop, you can stop. You don't have to keep reading. Lo shono klol shibatoris kahanim. The restriction of ein mafsikin, of don't pause, is only with regard to the curses in Sefer Vayikra. But you're not reading from there. You're reading from the Sefer for Sefer Dvorim. El shebe Mishnah Torah posek. The klolos in Mishnah Torah, Sefer Dvorim, Parshas Kisavo, that you are allowed to pause. So that if you're finding it difficult and troublesome, you can pause. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source, and we're using a geometric form, a volcano shape, to highlight the name of Shimon Elazar. It's our feeling that later there's a source that it doesn't seem to be obviously connected to the topic. Maybe it appears because it's another teaching of Reb Shimon Elazar. Of course, there may be more to say on the topic, but that requires some further research. Tanya, Reb Shimon Elazar Oimer. Ezra Tikein Lehem Yisrael Shukurin Klolos Shibuturas Kehanim Kodem Atzeres. Ezra set up the Torah reading, the weekly Torah reading, in such a way that you would read the klolos of Teres Kehanim of Sefer Vayikra from Parshas Bechukosai, you would read that before Shavuos. And the Sheba Mishnah Torah, the klolos that are found in Parshas Kisavo, you know, as you would read Parshas Kisavo, Kodem Rosh Hashanah. So on the calendar, you will have the end of Vayikra coming out before Shavuos, and the end and Parshas Kisavo coming out before Rosh Hashanah. My time, what's the purpose of that? Omer Abaye Vitema Reish Lakish. Abaye, some versions have Reish Lakish saying Kedei Shetichle Hashanah V'Kiluloseha, that before the new year comes, so the old year shall finish along with its curses. So we start a clean slate with the new year. Two points were made in this source. The point concerning the klolos of Mishnah Torah makes sense. Parshas Kisavo, with its klolos, you'll read before Rosh Hashanah. So the old year is finishing before Rosh Hashanah sets in, and I thereby finish the curses. So I finish off the year with its curses. Makes sense, right before Rosh Hashanah, before the new year. Elisha b'teres kehanim, But with regard to the Parshas Bechukosai and the curses that are found there, and you're saying that's also a fulfillment of finishing off the year. Where do you? Otto Atzeres Rosh Hashanah is Shavuos. You're saying to finish the curses in Bechukosai before the new year, before Shavuos. Is Shavuos a new year? In, yes, Shavuos is also a type of new year. Atzeres Nami Rosh Hashanah, it is also a new year. Disnan Ubatzeres Al Peros Ilan. The Mishnah says in Masachos Rosh Hashanah that on Shavuos there is judgment concerning the fruits of the trees. In other words, our actions of last year, how our mitzvahs and averus will stack up, is calculated, is judged on Shavuos, and the judgment concerning how the trees, how the fruits of trees will turn out as a result of our actions, just like we are judged on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, so that you see this parallel, that a day of judgment is the beginning of, represents the beginning of a new year. Whatever deposits and withdrawals we made in our mitzvah vera account, the accounting is made on the beginning of a new year. So it's accurate to refer to Shavuos as Rosh Hashanah, as it, just like the formal Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, so too Shavuos is. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Oimer, Im Yoim Rulach Zikenim Sesor V'Yilodim B'nei, if you are receiving advice from sages, and their advice is to halt some type of operation, halt, stop, break it down, destroy something, and your non-sages, your youthful friends, the Yolodim, the children, are saying regarding that same topic, B'nai, no, build it up. Sisor. Rabbi Shimon Elozer says, follow the advice of the sages that are saying to Sisor, to stop, to break it down, to destroy it. The Altivna, don't build it up. Mitnei Shastira Zikainen Binyan. The advice given by the by sages, by the old ones who are wise, their advice of stopping something, of breaking something down, in effect, is binyan, is building. Ubinyan Neorim, the advice of the youth that say to build up something when it's contradicted, of course, by the advice of the sages, that in effect is stira, is destruction. The Simin Ladovar, and in order to remember this principle, that one should learn how to accept the advice of the elders, of the sages, versus the advice of the youth, is Rechavam ben Shlomo. It's a reference to the son of Shlomo Melech, Rechavam, who was guilty of listening to the advice of his friends and not the advice of the elders, and that resulted in disaster for Rechavam ben Shlomo. The Psukim are in Sefer Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Beis. Look up Psukim Vov and Ches, and you can see that. This, of course, is very solid advice throughout all of life. And especially when you have a topic and you have one type of advice that one receives sounds tantalizing, it sounds attractive, but look at who is giving you that advice, and look at who is giving you the counter, the less attractive type advice. It's more important than the actual content of the advice is who is giving it to you, because it's from that individual's insight and foresight that they are saying whatever they are saying. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we continue, on the side of the Gemara we have a Nosei, a topic heading, Machloikis Tanoim, a Tanaic controversy, Eich Mamshichin Kriya Satura, B'Shabbos B'Mincha, B'Sheni V'Chamishi. After we read Parshas HaShavuot, we read the weekly Torah portion. Shabbos Mincha, we start reading from the new week, next week's Torah portion. We start already Shabbos Mincha. And then we read on Monday morning. And then we read on Thursday morning. When are we expected to be reading then? Are we reading incremental sections into the new section, into the new parsha? Or, and then when Shabbos finally comes around, does the week's readings figure in as part of that, and you start the portion of the week later into the parsha, or not? So now the Gemara. Tana Rabbana Mokom Shemafsikin B'Shabbos Shachris. The point of the Torah that you ended off Shabbos morning, Shom Kurin B'Mincha. You pick up from that point Mincha of Shabbos. Where you ended Mincha of Shabbos, B'Mincha Shom Kurin B'Sheni. So it's incremental. You keep reading in further. So on Monday, you're reading further into the Torah portion. B'Sheni, where you stopped on Monday, Shom Kurin B'Chamishi. Incremental. You keep reading further in on Thursday. Where you finished on Thursday, B'Chamishi, Shom Kurin L'Shabbos Haba. You will pick up from what you left off on Thursday, the next Shabbos, 2 days later. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now that approach is certainly unfamiliar to us, but that is Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda will tell us something that's probably much more familiar to many of you. Mokim shemafsikin b'Shabbos shachris shom kurin b'mincha u'b'sheni u'b'chamishi u'l'Shabbos haba. The point at which you finished your Shabbos Torah portion, at that point that you finished, you start from there and you read into the new parsha on Mincha of Shabbos, and that same section you will reread on Monday, on Thursday, and you will also reread that as part of next Shabbos's Parshas Hashavua, and of course you'll read further in to complete that week's Torah portion. Omer Rabbi Zera Halacha Mokim Shemafsikin B'Shabbos Shachris. Rabbi Zera rules like Rabbi Yehuda that where you finished the Torah portion, the week's Torah portion on Shabbos morning, Shom Kurin B'Mincha U'B'Sheni U'B'Chamishi U L'Shabbos Haba. You'll be reading the new section Shabbos afternoon, and that same section you read on Monday, Thursday, and you'll reread that same section plus much more into the end of that week's Torah portion next Shabbos. The Gemara asks, "V'leima halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda?" Wouldn't it have been easier for Rabbi Zera simply to say "V'halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda"? Why did he have to spell it all out? The Gemara continues at the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, "Mishum the afchi lehu," because people mistaken what Rabbi Meir says for that which Rabbi Yehuda says, and that which Rabbi Yehuda says for that which Rabbi Meir says, so as to prevent confusion, which would have happened if he simply said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. People thought, oh, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that means that you there's incremental reading into the week's portion. So to avoid that mistake, he spelled out how we are to follow. And it's just interesting to note, even though we're not going to continue in the Gemara itself, but note the marking, Mishum Da'afrilu, we did a slashed underlining, we're going to see the same structure of Gemara in the next section, where the question will be raised concerning the new section, where you have again a Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. It would have been easier simply to say the name. Why is the halacha spelled out? And the Gemara will answer for the same reason, because people confused the two names with the two opinions. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. And if you're interested in accessing marked Gemara, so gmarkings@gmail.com would be a convenient address. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.